Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the NFL.
You mocking me? Are you mocking me?
What's happening, guys? Happy Sunday. And more importantly, we're going to be doing a mock draft. And not only are we doing a mock draft, but we got a guest. Our guest tonight is Tyler Canabley. And Tyler is a jack of all trades for the gang over at Player Profiler. You can follow him at PPR Tyler on Twitter or X or Twix or whatever it is that you want to call it. That's where you find him. I met him at the Draft House a couple of weeks ago, I guess a week or so ago. And he does some producing for the Podfather. He's hosting some content on his own. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm super pumped to be on Dynasty Warzone. I run the Twitter a lot for Player Profile. So when I come in, like I do the promotion tweets, the shows, I always tap in. Like I don't watch every show that I end up tweeting out, but I always make sure to find my favorite segment that any Player Profile show does. Good people, bad tweets. It's the best segments on any podcast. So I always make sure and go look at that. And then if you notice when I do the promotion, it's usually like three players, right? It's like it's Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett, and Jonathan Mingo, right? But then for you guys, I usually do good people, bad tweets, Xavier Leggett, Ricky Pearsall. So,
well, you're here for a very special good people, bad tweets. And speaking of good people, where are my manners? Not introducing my lovely co-host. You guys know him better as the man of the hour and the man with the power, Jerry Sinclair, buddy. How you been?
I'm good, man. I'm excited. You know, every time we have a guest, it always drops me down the totem pole on the smartest people on the show. So, you know, it's less weight that you have to carry. So I appreciate it for you. I'm good. How the hell are you, bud?
Dude, I am great. Been drafting like crazy.
Yeah.
Every format under the sun. We have our relegation league in our patron. But we're doing a mock draft tonight, and I'm curious to see, because this should fill. Thanks to Tyler and his social media skills, he's put it out there. We're going to be doing a mock draft on Sleeper. And guys and ladies, I took the note last time. Last time, it's like, you sons of bitches did a draft and we couldn't watch it on YouTube. It's like, what the point of doing a mock draft on YouTube if we can't watch the board on like Sleeper? I'm like, say less. I will get it right this time. And
that's how I know you have a teenage son, Randy. Say less.
Say less indeed. I do have a teenage son. You have anything else before we get ready to get going? I mean, we can knock our one commercial out and then we can get into this good people, bad tweets. I see Tyler smiling. But before that, Tyler, but before we go to the commercial, just real quick, what are you doing? I know you produce the Mind of Mansion, you produce the Sonic Truth, you work with the Podfather a bunch. What else are you doing on camera?
So I have my own YouTube page where it's completely different than Dynasty. It's actually the exact opposite. A ton of best ball drafting. We have drafted a team ever since. My goal is to do 100 consecutive streams, so 100 consecutive days with a stream draft. We did 50 right before the NFL draft, but now that the NFL draft is over and Best Ball Mania is live, I want to get to 100 stream drafts. We have a couple sub goals too, like at 500 subs, which we're like only like 15 away from. We're doing a Hot Wings best ball stream. So 18 rounds, 18 wings, 9 different flavors of wings, like Hot One style. We're going to pick them up and we're going to put them down. So that's at 500 subs, and at 600 subs, we're going to be doing a 24-hour live stream. So a couple different goals. Super excited for that wing stream. Like, it's coming up here soon. As soon as
I'm going to watch. Like the snot comes out of your face, and this is going to be, like, brutal.
Yeah.
Well, gang, show Tyler some love. Find Tyler on X, at PPR Tyler, which will have a link to his YouTube channel. Go to his YouTube. Be one of the 15. Be one of the 15.
Less than that. I just made it 9. Okay, I'm at 491. Here we go, so okay, not here by the end of the time. I'm disappointed in every one of you bastards.
Yeah, let's the player profiler and the Dynasty Warzone audience, let you guys be the one to get this guy to 500. Let's do that. While you here, I'll even give you a minute, because people, you know, some people like commercials, some people don't like commercials. If you don't like commercials, go subscribe to his YouTube channel, and we'll be right back.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer, so you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team, and then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing, and it's going to be well worth it.
Yeah, the Dynasty Dominator, very handy to have in your pocket, especially with drafts coming up. Just a great little cheat. So, Tyler, you mentioned good people, bad tweets. You got to be excited. It's your first time. We had to explain the concept, and I brought that story up on last week's podcast, and this will all tie together, I promise. I had to explain the concept to Alex Dunlap from Roster Watch, and he was like, he didn't get it. So, you know, and we explained the concept to him, and he was like, hey, has anyone ever blocked you? I'm like, two people, one guy. And it wasn't because he had a bad tweet. It was a bad tweet because he was showing a video of himself bench pressing without the bar touching his chest. Cause the video said, how many reps is this? And I said, zero. If the bar doesn't touch your chest, is it a rep?
It depends how close it gets, but probably not.
No, dude, you could have rolled a Coke bottle underneath.
Okay, yeah, no.
So it
was
a Jerry bench press is what you're saying?
No. So I didn't mention their names, but someone knew, and we'll call this particular fan Mike. Now, one of the two people who know who the other person was who blocked me, it's D-Bro from Fantasy Pros. I don't even remember the tweet that he blocked me over, but I just know that he blocked me. He blocked the show. So Mike sent me a screenshot of a Debo tweet. He's like, does this qualify? I'm like, Mike, I appreciate your participation, so we're going to check it out. So here is tonight's tweet, courtesy of D-Bro. And D-Bro says, stop being in all capital letters, stop letting Ricky Pearsall fall into the second round of rookie drafts. Once Brandon Ayuk or Debo is gone, people will regret letting him slip. Don't do it. Tyler, what do you think about Ricky Pearsall as a first-round rookie pick, even in a 1QB?
So 1QB changes it, but if we're just looking at a super flex perspective, like, there is a lot. This class is loaded, like, so much more loaded than it was last year. Like, there's so many guys you can really debate at the end of the first, right? And that's kind of where I'm guessing he's saying you should take Ricky Pearsall. And I was a huge Ricky Pearsall pre-draft, but this is not a great landing spot. it's just one of the things that, yes, Debo's there and Ayuk is there. And as long as they're there, he's buried, right? And it's not a certainty that Ayuk or Debo are going to be out of there. Yeah, there was some talk, but there's always talk in the NFL. Jonathan Taylor was going to quit the Colts last year, and now he's like one of the their leaders of the Colts, right? So I don't know. It's things change all the time in the NFL. But Ricky Pearsall, I just don't see how you could take him over a guy like, especially with Superflex, like Bo Nix, who has to be locked in to the end of the first. He's going to be a starting quarterback for like 2 to 3 years, right? Now, this is a hot take, and this actually might discredit, but I'm just so big on this guy. I would take Xavier Leggett for the upside alone over Ricky Pearsall. I get the Leggett stuff. We can get into it maybe when he gets taken, but I would personally take Leggett over him. But, I mean, other guys, like, who's going to the end of the first? Ladd McConkey, you're going to take the guys attached to Justin Herbert and could be, like, the wide receiver one for the Chargers this year. Like, there's so many names. Like, Keon Coleman is attached to Josh Allen. Like, I get that Pearsall's in that great landing spot, San Francisco, but they don't run a lot of 11. There's a ton of guys who can get targets there. You got Kittle, you got Debo, you got all these guys. Like, just because he goes to the Niners doesn't mean he's just automatically like more of a future pick. Even if Debo or Ayuk are gone, are we sure that he's still like even that good? So I don't know. I'm out on that personally. I'm out on it.
Yeah, that's how it got here. Was like, I don't see Ricky Pearsall as a first round dynasty wide receiver. He's 23 and a half years old. He's going to turn 24 in season. And I'm kind of like, this feels like it's finally the class. Like, it's the class of like the COVID guys are finally being forced out. It's like, dude, you got no more eligibility. You can't stay in college. Like, I used to be a bartender, and at the end of the night as a bartender, I'd say, look, you ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here. And the NCAA has finally told guys like Ricky Pearsall, Jaden Daniels, and Xavier Leggett, hey, look, dude, you ain't got to go to the NFL, but you can't stay here no more. I'm not super high on these fifth and sixth year seniors, so I wouldn't let him be a first round wide receiver. I'd be happy to let someone else make that mistake. Jerry, what are your thoughts?
Hell no. Listen, I'm in, I don't know. I've probably done 12, 13, 15 rookie drafts so far that have gotten through the first round. You know how many times I've seen Ricky Pearsall in the first round? A big fat zero.
Yeah, same.
Because why would I? Let's say Debo or Brandon Ayuk is gone. Okay, so they're either still competing with Brandon Ayuk or Debo. George Kittle is still there. Christian McCaffrey is still there. And I want to do that with a fifth-year senior who never hit 1,000 yards in college, never had more than 5 touchdowns. And even to get close to 1,000 yards, he had to be 23 years old to do it. And now he's going to go into the NFL and he's going to feast like that? No. Absolutely not. He got the attention he wanted. Congratulations. You went with a contrarian when everybody else is going a different way. But
I mean, no. I'll just end it on this with this take. If you like Ricky Pearsall, that's fine.
Agree.
Don't overdraft him. If you have like the 109, 110, and you really want Ricky Pearsall, that's fine. The take's not bad because he likes Ricky Pearsall. The take is bad is because you don't want to trade up to go get Ricky Pearsall. That's the mistake. That's where it becomes a bad tweet. Again, everybody who we do on Good People, Bad Tweets is a good person, but that's the aspect of the tweet. Just trade back to like the 202, move back, pick up like a young player you like, pick up a third, pick up something, maybe a 25 second, stack some additional capital on top of that, and you still get your guy and you get something else. That's the part that I don't agree with this tweet. That's why it made the show. Tyler, anything that before we move on? Because it's almost drafting time.
Let's draft, man. I got nothing to add.
Right, well, hold on. We gotta go Dana White. So you know Dana White has to make an appearance. Jerry mentioned the UFC last night was made his work life a little bit more difficult. Let's go with this.
I don't give a shit what that guy thinks, what he has to say, or what he writes. Good for him. He's pulling good traffic.
So you don't worry about the
I don't give a fuck. Don't give a fuck. Cool.
There you go. Debo is pulling great traffic, but I don't give a fuck about Ricky Pearsall in the first round. All right, it's mock draft time. So here's how this is going to go. I'm going to start the mock draft, and then we've got our patrons in there helping out. We've got people from X on there helping out. Jerry, myself, I'm taking the 103. Tyler is taking the 106, and Jerry is taking the 110. I did it this way, so we're going to start the draft. We're going to let the first round go. I'll call them out as they go, and then we'll pause it, and we'll discuss the first round. Does that work for you, Jer?
I am so excited. I have the best pick in the whole damn draft.
Well, you get to talk about it. I have an interesting pick, and Tyler, you're ready, sir.
Yeah, I'm good. Let's go.
Here we go. Oh, man, I got to turn that down. All right, the draft has begun. We got someone on the clock. They're not in here, so we may have to wait a second. It's pretty simple. It's Caleb. It's Caleb Williams. Tyler, do you have any pushback to it being? Oh, it's Jaden Daniels. Oh, you silly people. Caleb Williams. I'm on the clock. I'm going Marvin Harrison Jr. Malik Nabers went next. Got the 105. Up here we go. It is our boy Tyler with the 106.
This is where it gets tough because you want to go quarterback, but
right.
I thought McCarthy. I saw McCarthy going a lot of rookie drafts before Drake May has. So I thought that was going to happen here. I was just going to take Drake May, but you know what? I like talking. We already kind of talked about McCarthy, so I'm going to go with Dunze here, baby. I'm big on a Dunze. Keenan Allen's gonna be there for 1 year. This is more of a projecting thing. He's not gonna, maybe a Dunze isn't the best this year, but give me the guy that's attached to Caleb Williams for who he is, then he's gonna be just one of these stud wide receivers going forward.
All right. Well, we got Jay on the clock right now. Jerry, what is your strategy? What are you seeing coming down the pipe?
See, I love this range because you sort of get stuck. There's like four guys that you just get to pick from after you hit like 109. And then it's just picking my favorite guy, which I'm going to get my guy because I like him more than everybody else. So I'm going to take it and I'm going to talk about it.
Well, Tyler took Roma Dunze, a league that you're in with me,
mm-hmm.
is the Rockolution role themed. IDP Superflex League that we're in with our buddies from Australia and non-Australians as well. And Roma Dunze was there at the 110. It was very interesting.
Was it really? So, I don't have any picks in that league because I'm an idiot. So I had
your 106. I traded that away. You're on the clock now.
Yeah. And ba-da-da-da.
All right, we have two more, and then we'll talk about our picks and just like anything that we see. All right, so let this pick get made. Now, Tyler, you said you've done a lot of mock drafts on your personal YouTube channel. How's this mock draft looking compared to what you've seen so far?
I've been doing underdog drafts on my YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so yeah. Here we go. We have paused. We have paused the thing. I am going to share my screen for the YouTube peoples. It went Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Drake May, Roma Dunze to our friend Tyler, JJ McCarthy, Brock Bowers 108, Bo Nix 109, Jerry went Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy 111 and Brian Thomas 112. So I'll start with our guest, Tyler. What sticks out to you in this first round? Because these are real people. Part of the reason, and thank you for those from the audience on Twitter that are doing this mock draft with us. It definitely makes it a more realistic mock because I think sometimes sleepers ADP gets a little weird. Like I've been getting a bunch of cheap Eric All. We'll get to him later, but Tyler, what are your thoughts on round one? And tell us about Roma Dunze.
Yeah, starting off with just the round one stuff. I feel like the top five was pretty chalk. We got Daniel, and except outside of the 101, obviously, but the order is whatever. But we go Daniels, Caleb, Marvin, neighbors than May. Then you kind of look back. Honestly, I think Knicks, I like the Knicks pick at 9. I feel like sometimes he goes a little later, though. But this guy is going to be locked in as a starting quarterback. It feels like for at least 2 years. If he plays terrible, maybe he's done after 2 years. Like, guys that go in the first round, like, they get chances. Like, Zach Wilson, a little bit different story, but because he's a second overall pick. But he got – look how many chances Zach Wilson got. He's actually on the team with Bo Nix, which is funny enough. But I think the Keon Coleman pick's a little interesting. You said you like the pick, so I'll talk about Adunze real quick, and then I'll toss it over to you because I think a lot of people would say Worthy over Keon Coleman. So I'm interested to hear your take on that. But with Adunze, I just – like I said before, give me the guy that's going to be attached to Caleb Williams for the first, 4 or 5 years of their career. Adunze was a guy that a lot of, like, the big-time analysts loved. I know Daniel Jeremiah had him as his number 2 wide receiver on his board. I think – I forget if it was a McShay or one of the other guys had him really high too. He just – it feels like if he went in any other draft that wasn't with Neighbors and Harrison, like, he kind of – like, if he was in, like, that Drake London class where it was, like, London, Olave – and Wilson, I think there's a really good chance Adunze goes first in that class. I think he's that kind of player. So to get him in the mid first, I'm just assuming that this team I'm drafting already has, like, you know, quarterback settled, the quarterback situation figured out. But I just really like Adunze. I'm really interested to hear your Keon Coleman take, though, because I think I'm a little in on him than a lot of people are. People are going to tell you that he's a bust. They don't like big body wide receivers,
which I understand. So let's just start from the get-go. If you want to go Jaden Daniels, you can. It's not the safe play. Like, I'm not going to bust anybody's balls for it. I'm going to take Caleb Williams. He's got a lot of, you know, I don't want to get into it too much. Everything seems pretty fine for me up on there. I mean, Brock Bowers sliding to 108 is pretty nice. I like JJ 107. I like Bo Nix 109. The reason I like the 109 to, like, 202 slot is it's got everything you want, and it's discounted. If you need a quarterback, Bo Nix is probably in that range somewhere. If you need wide receivers, you've got all of the 3 guys that we said, plus a couple guys that are going to go in a second. If you need a running back, you have 2 options, and I'm not spending 103, 104, 105 prices. That's why I picked 110, because it's a nice spot. Why? No, nobody took fucking Ricky Pearsall.
It's a great call by Jeremy in the YouTube audience. By the way, this is why you watch on YouTube, is because the YouTube audience, man, they make this thing special.
So what made Xavier Worthy's ADP skyrocket is the question. And it's because he landed in Kansas City.
Patrick Mahomes.
And Keon Coleman's got Josh Allen. So
no, I'm with you.
And, you know, I'm not going to say that Josh Allen's better or anything. I mean, they're equals, but I just think Keon Coleman is a better wide receiver than Xavier Worthy. Yeah, Xavier Worthy ran really fast. Xavier Worthy also dropped a shitload of balls, and Keon Coleman doesn't. I mean, yes, his reception perception and his route tree is not as defined as everybody else's. Here's the thing about Keon Coleman. Week 1, absolutely trucks LSU, pulls his nuts out, drops it on him, embarrasses them, goes for 3 tutties. Everybody talks about Keon Coleman as an absolute monster and in that top tier of wide receivers. And then by the time we get to the end of rookie drafts, we've talked about every single other person on the planet, and Keon Coleman starts slipping down. I mean, and now he's the guy with Josh Allen. And there's going to be times that it's not going to be great. 37 feet of snow and everything else. I'm going to take Josh Allen's wide receiver 1. I don't know if Xavier Worthy is going to be
Patrick. Well, he's not going to be, at least for a year or two. And I know it looks like Rashi Rice is going to get probably half a year worth of suspension, but that would be a big to do if he was going into year 9. He's not. He's going into year 2. He'll be back. I don't know that. Maybe the volume goes up. Kansas City's offense is going to be a lot of fun. I will just say this, and we'll get ready to start the second round. You can kiss second round Bo Nix goodbye. Too many sharp people, like you guys mentioned it, the Podfather and Rich Rebar mentioned it the other day. You know, Bo Nix, first of all, Patton, the general manager in Denver, he needs this to work because he was the GM who traded for Russell Wilson. Sean Payton needs Bo Nix to work. And I think Bo Nix is going to play the Sean Payton quarterback role very well. And if he does, let's say, like, I always like to go ceilings and basements. The basement on Bo Nix is like Kenny Pickett. It could be absolute trash. But the ceiling's Drew Brees, because we've seen someone. Now, he's not going to be playing in a dome like Drew Brees, but that is the range. And then my pick at the 103, I didn't go quarterback. I didn't go my guy. For me, the top three is pretty simple. It's Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers. Because even as much as I like Drake May and all the things that I feel about Jaden Daniels, the three sure things in this draft, in my opinion, are the two wide receivers. And Adunze, I've even got minor questions about. But I'm going to lock in. So for me, taking Marvin Harrison was super simple. Anything to add before I start?
Yeah, restart. I got a few things. Let me just say, I know I crapped on Xavier Worthy a little bit. In an attempt to argue for Keon Coleman. But that said, if I'm trying to swing for the fences, Xavier Worthy has a higher ceiling. Keon Coleman is just a safer guy. Keon Coleman's never going to be wide receiver one. He's never going to be a top five wide receiver in Dynasty. He's sort of got like wide receiver 10, 12 ceiling. But that floor in Buffalo as the guy is also, you know, wide receiver 17, 18. So he's sort of like DK Metcalfish. Xavier Worthy could absolutely go to the moon, or he could absolutely poop his pants and not be worth a roster spot.
He could be the wide receiver.
There's too many guys that profile exactly like him that are super speedsters and they're this size and yada yada yada, and we don't hear about him.
Okay. We'll give you that, Tyler. Anything to add? We're gonna go round two.
Yeah, Keon Coleman, real quick. I think his best comp, and I think Podfather has mentioned it on stream before too, is Allen Robinson. You know, just bigger body kind of guy. Just win those jump balls. If he can learn how to, you know, kind of clean up his route running, Allen Robinson. I mean, you can draft prime Allen Robinson at the end of the first. That's a great pick right there. So
at one point, Allen Robinson was the dynasty wide receiver 2 overall going into a season. Now this was after the 14 touchdown, 1400 yard season. So,
and is it Josh Allen just Blake Bortles with more talent?
Stop.
I'm kidding, but that was
two in a sentence.
I'm kidding because I called the Josh Allen breakout on this very podcast many, many, many years ago. But as much as I love Josh Allen, I think we all love Josh Allen. He's not the most accurate dude around. And if you're not the most accurate dude around, isn't it good to have a big body wide receiver, especially in the red zone? With a big reach, and I know they do wingspan in the NBA, so I like the pick. I think you're going to see more 12 personnel with the Bills. You're going to see two tight ends. You're going to see two wide receivers, and this is going to end up being a good pick. So I'm going to resume the draft. These people aren't in there, so we'll just kind of let this go. In the chat, Ryan C. said Penix, ? Jerry, do you think Penix should have gone by now?
No, I don't.
I know. I forgot you hate Michael Penix in his landing spot. You said you called him a third rounder last week.
Yes, I did. And I stand by that.
Jerry's standing on business, gang.
I'm sorry. Why in the fuck am I going to wait around for 2 years? Unless Kirk Cousins has a catastrophic injury again, Michael Penix is not seeing the field. So if I want to get him for a 2026 second, I'll do it in 2026. I'm not wasting first round pick now on him.
What about you, Tyler? You just picked your guy. We'll get into it. We're halfway through the second round now. I broke the seal at running back. I'll just go ahead. Spoiler alert. I took Jonathan Brooks. We'll talk about him. We're up to the 208. So we'll get going. I find it interesting. So the 201 in this is Adonai Mitchell, and I'm surprised. I'm shocked because the settings for this is rookie only. I set it as a 2QB because they don't have a mock draft function that's super flex. So the quarterback should be technically cranked up even higher. So Jerry, hearing about, I don't know, about a minute and a half, you're going to get the opportunity to take Michael Penix Jr. We're going to put you to the test.
No. He went at 204.
Oh, did he? Oh, I apologize. I missed that. He did go 204. See, that's why we have it on YouTube. All right, Jerry, you're on deck. One of our patrons, David, is David. Huh?
Be a nice, do David, it. Be a nice boy. There you
go. Okay. This is going to be and I don't want to poo-poo the first round, but the first round's become kind of chalk. We have one more. The 212 is on the clock. I think this is where the good conversation really picks up.
I forget. Is this a tight? It's a tight end premium.
It is. Tight end premium. Yeah. No,
this is scoring.
But that's not a functionality you can put into a mock draft on Sleeper. Okay. Here we go. We're good. We have five running backs taken in the second round. You are a man of your word, Mr. Knabley. You took Xavier Leggett. Tell me about your love affair with Xavier.
Over the pre-draft process, I like Leggett. I like the upside that he had. And maybe this is because I've just been taking him a lot in best ball, but I truly think that this is, I mean, in the middle of the second round, I will say full disclosure, I just wanted to talk about Leggett, so I took him, but I probably would have gone Benson there if I was in an actual league. I think Benson's a really good, I mean, the potential RB1 at the 206 would have been criminal. So I want to get that out of the way right now, but I want to talk about Leggett. So we're going to talk about Leggett. I get the red flags with Leggett. I understand them, but no one's talking about like the good stuff with him. His best college season, granted, it was after four seasons where he had like under 200 yards in all of them. I understand that. You put his 2023 season up next to some of your favorite receivers in this class, and he smokes them all. More than Xavier Worthy, more than Keon Coleman, no offense, more than Ricky Pearsall, Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell. Like, his best season this year was 1,200 yards. He had 71 catches, and he had 7 touchdowns, and he got some work in the rushing game. Like, this guy is a legit, like, he was a legit producer at South Carolina. Yeah, he's playing with Rattler, but I really like the production profile from this year alone. I get the last 4 years. It's not great. Then the other thing is like, he can't really separate. I just don't agree with that. I think, yes, he has a bust type of, I would say body type / frame. Like, that's why everyone hated DK Metcalf. Remember when DK Metcalf came out? Like, he was everyone's favorite pick to be a bust, and he ended up hitting, and now he's one of the best receivers in the league. Everyone wants to make the Mingo comparisons. Mingo did not have a season like Xavier Leggett just had. Let's just get that out of the way right there. So I just think Leggett, yes, he's risky. Maybe there's like a 70/60% chance this guy busts. I understand that. But if he hits, he's going to hit a lot bigger than guys like McConkey, guys like Pearsall, guys like even like Adonai Mitchell. Like, Xavier Leggett is going to hit big if he hits. So I'm willing to take a chance on that in like the middle of the second round. And the Panthers trade up to get this guy. I think they have a plan for him. I really trust Dave Canales. I love, you know, kind of drafting into situations where the head coach is the play caller. So if the play caller leaves, then your team's not like screwed. So I do like that aspect of it too, as a little tiebreaker in there. But Xavier Leggett, I'm going to flag plant this guy. Like, I just think the talent of his upside is too much for me to pass up on it, especially at this price, like 206 or mid to late second round. So,
Jerry, I'm going to talk more about Dave Canales in the minute. So we're going to stop glazing Dave Canales for a minute. We're going to talk about Blake Corum. Now, when our buddy David from our patron was on the clock at 109, you said, don't do it. So you're really still super high on Blake Corum.
It's not that I think Blake Corum is the smartest running back in this class. He's the one that understands football the most and has the best vision. He's lacking certain things. He's a little guy, didn't pass catch a ton, really good on the goal line, even though he's little. Which I don't know exactly if that's going to replicate in the NFL. I've said this 100 times. I'm just not a Kyren Williams guy. He was good, and he's absolutely going to be the starting running back for the Rams going into the season. I just think Blake Corum is better. I really do. And as a person that has exactly zero shares of Kyren Williams across my 25 leagues, Why wouldn't I want to grab the guy who's not him? Now I know that's a selfish personal strategy of me because I don't have any Kyren Williams, but I want one of those guys to win this backfield. And if I don't have one of them, I'm going to take the other guy. I think Blake Corum is good. I don't exactly love Kyren Williams. I think he's a product of Sean McVay's system. And I think it will be much closer by about week 8, week 9. And every time you got those Kyren Williams shares, you're going to see Blake Corum doing good things, and it's just going to eat at you and eat at you. And the anxiety is going to build until your back is sweating and you can't stand it anymore because you know it's coming. Kyren Williams is not going to be the dynasty asset that's going to hold.
No, like he was never going to be the asset.
No, no. But that's the problem is now you're right. He was worth a wet fart 365 days ago. And then he had a great season, but everybody's holding. Everybody's holding on to him because they finally got that guy that was a late round gem and he absolutely exploded for whatever the hell he exploded for. But we're sticking it out. He was never going to be this long-term dynasty asset. Absolutely moving the hell off of him.
How many running backs are?
Of course. Exactly. So damn opportunity.
But that's my thing.
And if they are at all, they're not going to be for long. So get the profit while the train is still in the station.
I'm fine with you drafting Corum, but to me, this has Zach Charbonnet written all over it. And
here's the problem with that, though, is okay. Kyren Williams is not Kenneth Walker. How dare you besmirch that Spartan dog in my presence? He is the incumbent starter. I will drive to Indianapolis, Randall.
Go ahead.
No, I won't. I've
come on up. Come on over. No. I mean, it's nothing against Blake Corum, but did you really think Sean McVay, as successful as the running game was last year, did you think Sean McVay was going into 2024 with Royce? Was it Royce Freeman? I think it was Royce Freeman. It was Royce Freeman and Daryl Henderson. No. Did you think that was someone in?
No.
The only hope that Corum has this year is injury, which Kyren Williams has been injured every year. Outside of that, he's going to be the guy.
But no, Kyren Williams 100% is going to be the 1A guy.
100%.
I don't.
Just like Kenneth Walker, right?
Yeah, but Kenneth Walker. Is just exponential.
I feel bad for Tyler. He's got to listen to like.
I love this. This is great.
He's the guy who gets invited over. Like, you know, someone invites you over to their house, and the husband and wife starts fighting. That's what we. I want to get to my guy so we can get on to these next two rounds. I took Jonathan Brooks. He is my RB1 in this class. I don't apologize for it. I know people are super stoked about Trey Benson. I don't like some of the things that I saw, some of the draft profiles I read about him running into the back of his blockers, doesn't always see the hole. I love the all-around skill set of Jonathan Brooks. And my man Tyler, he mentioned Dave Canellis. Handsome, first of all. Handsome son of a bitch. But I saw how he used Rashad White last year. 60-some-odd catches. I know this guy's going to be involved in the passing game. Like I said last week, By Christmas, Miles Sanders will be driving for Amazon or UPS or somebody. He'll be delivering packages. And I like Chuba Hubbard, but he's not going to stand in this guy's way. So I understand that him coming off of the November ACL is probably going to delay his season. But I heard that last year going into this season about guys like 35-year-old Zach Ertz and 23-year-old Breece Hall. Everybody handles these things differently. I don't care. I think Jonathan Brooks is an absolute stud. Tyler, what are your thoughts? Because you're a Canellis fan. This is in the division that you root as a Falcons fan. What are your thoughts on my Jonathan Brooks pick?
I like it. I like Jonathan Brooks. And Dave Canellis has a really good book. I don't know if you guys have read it. You should go check that out. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then look up Dave Canellis' book. You'll have a give yourself a good laugh. Anyways, yeah, Jonathan Brooks, like Dave Canellis literally said, it's like, we want to run the football. And you look back at Tampa Bay, Rashad White was third in carries in the league last year. And he had like never been that ever before in his life. Dave Canales comes to town and they're like, they pounded the rock with Rashad White. And the backfield is interesting too. Like when I was in the underdog streets, I was in on Chuba Hubbard and I was in on Miles Sanders. Cause I was like, Carolina has so many bigger needs than a running back. They cannot get out of Miles Sanders' contract this year. They literally cannot do it. Chuba Hubbard is still stuck there. They went out of their way to draft another running back. That just proves how much they want to run the ball. So I like the I like the Brooks pick. I think he's going to get fed when he comes back healthy. Obviously, the ACL may affect some of his, you know, his overall upside this year, just because the year removed from the ACL always not the best situation, but it's fine. So I like the Jonathan Brooks pick.
I'm going to throw this to Jerry real quick, because Jerry was a Jonathan Brooks fan. And then I'm going to recap the second round. I've already like snuck and pushed the resume button, so we don't have a gap in the conversation. Jerry, thoughts on Jonathan Brooks?
Stud. I mean, he would have been my 201. He could also be my 110 if I need a running back. Like, I'm not mad at that either. I take him as high as 109. 201 should probably be about as low as he goes for me. That's sort of my strategy with, that's why I like the first 15 picks, because I can go all the first round guys that we took, Ladd McConkey in there, Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, and then Xavier Leggett is my last guy. After Xavier Leggett, I don't really care. Like, I'm gonna play to a strategy, not play to a guy for the most part.
And you're on the clock, and we're wrapping up the end of the third round. So let me real quick recap what we have so far. The 201 was Adonai Mitchell. The 202 was Ladd McConkey. I took Jonathan Brooks at the 203. Michael Penix Jr. came off the board at 204. Everybody's favorite, Ricky Pearsall, the 205. Tyler took Xavier Leggett at 206. Chris from our patron group took Trey Benson at the 207. By the way, in some countries, they will cut your hands off for stealing, because Chris stole Trey Benson there. Troy Franklin, that's real high for Troy Franklin. We had Jalen Wright go at the 209. Jerry took Blake Corum. Jalen Polk went at the 211, and Marshawn Lloyd at the 212. So I want to throw one guy to each of you, get some takes while we're letting the third round wrap up. I'm going to start with you, Jerry. What are your thoughts on Marshawn Lloyd, the running back for the Green Bay Packers?
Once we get past that line in the sand that I draw, where after I get to Xavier Leggett, I'm fine taking whoever you want to take. I mean, honestly, I'm probably just going to take running backs from here on out. Just because, and he's in a situation that, no, it's not conducive that he's going to get points unless something happens to Josh Jacobs. Sorry, I was blanking right there. But it, in the event that something does happen to Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd jumps in there, where does his value go? I mean, it skyrockets, and I can profit, and I am picking him at 212. Yeah, I'm fine with it. And I think that's probably earlier than I've seen him go in most drafts.
All right. Well, I'm cool going to. I'm going to throw it back.
I'm a stack running backs.
To our guest. I'm with the thoughts on Jalen Polk going. I know a lot of people like him. A lot of people like, I'm looking right at his name too, the other wide receiver in New England. But what are your thoughts on Polk?
Yeah, I mean, I think the highlight from the player profile draft weekend was Alex Dunlap and Cody arguing over Jalen Polk and Adonai Mitchell in Dynasty. Like, that was like the best clip that came from that weekend. And personally on Polk, like, he has a chance to be the number one in this offense, right? He's the highest draft capital receiver they have actually on, that's going to probably be a starter, right? Javon Baker went a little later. Demario Douglas is a later round guy. Like, he actually has the pedigree. He had a really good season at Washington. So I like Polk this late, like, for a guy that could be the number one receiver in New England attached to Drake May. Like, the upside's obviously there, and you like to think the floor is there too. And real quick, I want to touch on Blake Corum real quick. I'll be fast.
Please. No, please take your time.
So you mentioned the receiving thing, and I actually wrote Blake Corum up for the draft guy, which you can still go get at playerprofiler.com. It was one of the biggest stats that I thought was interesting, because I was also under the impression that this guy really didn't catch passes. And if you look at the overall receiving numbers, like the raw stats and the targets and the receptions, it just wasn't there. That being said, like, in 2021, when he was obviously healthy, he had 24 catches in 2021, which is his most for a season. The team leader that same year was Cornelius Johnson, who had 39 catches. And to add on to that, Roman Wilson, a guy who a lot of people in the community love, went to the Steelers. A lot of people really like Roman Wilson. That same season, Roman Wilson, who plays wide receiver, if you didn't know, had just 25 catches that same season, and Blake Corum had 24. He had one less catch than Roman Wilson that same year. So I think he has the pass catching chops. I think it's kind of like a McCarthy thing where he just wasn't asked to catch passes out of the backfield. But that was a really heartwarming stat that he actually, like, if you just go by target share, I think the number is a little bit better considering the team leader that year had 39 catches.
Well, like I have said, it is terrible to watch Michigan football. Unfortunately, I am a glutton for pain, and they are the most evil athletic organization on this planet. And so I watch them. So I hear you. I think he's fully capable. Honestly, he used to come into my work when I worked in Ann Arbor. Nicest fucking dude in the world. He's built like an absolute tank. It's wild that we're the same species, but.
Well, this is a good spot. So what I've done is I went ahead and restarted the draft. Our buddy Tyler's actually on the clock making his fourth and final selection. We're going to break down the third and the fourth round, but this is something that the Podfather and I, you know, share a mindset on. For longtime listeners of the Dynasty Warzone, you know that the terminology of draft running backs, trade for wide receivers. That's how you do it in Dynasty. You know, the Podfather said it today. The hit rate on wide receivers is so low. We mentioned the stat last week that 27.9% of wide receivers re-sign a second contract with their drafting team. It's such a tough position. So we are all caught up for the second round. We will jump to the third round now. If you're watching live on YouTube, you can look ahead because we've got four picks left in the fourth round, and then we're just going to cover the rest of this draft. So real quick, third round, I'll read them off this time. 301, Ben Sinnott, or Sinnott, as he likes to be called, Roman Wilson, Malachi Corley to me, Javon Baker, that's the other wide receiver I was blanking on in New England, Bucky Irving, running back to Tampa Bay, Ray Davis. Tyler told me in the pre-show, he was talking Ray Davis, Jatavion Sanders, Jermaine Burton, Kamini Vidal, we'll talk about him. Estime, the running back for Denver, not a bad pick. McMillan, the wide receiver from Tampa Bay, was the 311. And then Tez Walker was the 312. So I'm going to start with our guest. I'm going to start with Tyler because he wanted to talk. He said, I'm talking Xavier Leggett. I'm talking Ray Davis. Talk to me about Ray Davis.
Where do I even start? He's like, I don't know if there's a bigger Ray Davis fan on the internet, on Twitter, in this industry than myself. It was day one. I was beating the drum for Ray Davis. He was my most drafted player on Underdog in the pre-draft process. I was obsessed with this guy's film, and he's kind of like maybe it's just I got a thing for older guys. You know, that just might be what it is. And he's old, but for the running back position, like it's not as big a deal, I think, as, you know, maybe some other positions, like in terms of if you're playing Dynasty in a 2 to 3 year window, I mean, it's not going to matter anyway. Maybe you'll get out a little earlier, but Ray Davis led the nation among running backs in receiving touchdowns last year he kind of had an interesting path. He was, one of those stories where, you know, he was homeless and for a little bit of his life. And then he makes his way to Vandy after he was at Troy. Then he goes to Kentucky. He's the only player in SEC history to have a 1,000-yard season at two different SEC schools. That's Vanderbilt and Kentucky. And I just truly think he has some of the best vision in this class. He is an unbelievable, just pure runner. And this landing spot, I was dry. I had to leave the draft house a day earlier, but I had the player profiler stream on my phone playing on the speakers on the way home. And I'm listening to Cody talk about, he's like, we have another, because there's like a running back run in the draft. And he goes, we have another running back taken. And he starts listening to height, the weight, the age. And I already know it's Ray Davis because I memorized everything about this guy. And we get the Buffalo landing spot. And I instantly went to Twitter. I did one of those voice memo things. I don't even know. It's the only time I've ever done it, because I didn't want to take a video while I was driving, but I did the voice memo thing. And this is the best landing spot you could ever had. James Cook has proven over time and time again that he's just not a three-down workhorse type of guy. As much as the fantasy community wants him to be, yes, he can catch some passes, but he doesn't have that, like I would say, the girth, the size that Ray Davis has. He's a little stout. He's like 5'9", but he's like 215. We're in a 4.5, 240. There's ample opportunity And yeah, Ray Davis propaganda. There we go, Bindles. There's ample opportunity in Buffalo for Ray Davis. He could be best case scenario is like, I think Josh Allen's really their goal line back, the amount of times they did the tush push to end last season. But Ray Davis, I think, has some just stay. I think he's just going to be in the offense. Like, they're not going to give James Cook all this work. It's Ray Davis to the moon. And I don't want to hear anything about Frank Gore Jr. That guy's dust.
I will say this. I don't know that he's going to immediately overtake James Cook.
Did
you think they were going into this season? The same thing I said about the Rams. Did you think they were going into this season with Nyheim Hines and Damian Harris again? I don't think so. There's a reason why they drafted Ray Davis. There's a reason why they added Frank Gore Jr., Dusty or not, to the roster. I'm telling you, we got the big body wide receiver, and I like sharing podcasts and things that I listen to. And I mentioned Mike Lombardi a lot, John Middlecoff a lot. Another one that I really like is Mark Schlereth, the Stinking Good podcast. And he did one the other day about why scoring was down in the NFL. And if you, and I think this is where the league's heading back to, because he talked about his time in Denver with John Elway, and it actually got me very excited about Justin Herbert. He was like, if you try playing, you know, too high safety against the Broncos, it would like piss Mike Shanahan off. And he would pound the ball. He's like, we'll bring him out of that too high safety. And that kind of, you're starting to see that. The Raiders added another tight end. The Bills have two tight ends. You're seeing some of that because it's what's old is new again. And you're going to see more teams pounding the ball. So I think Ray Davis and all these running backs are absolutely tremendous. I'm looking at my boy, Jerry. Jerry, you went Estime. Speaking of bruising running backs, you went Estime. We know Javonte Williams, not the healthiest cat around.
Yeah, I'm actually sort of pissed because I would have taken Dylan Lobb or however the hell you say that guy's name. And I'm just realizing that he went a couple picks after. But yeah. I mean, Javonte Williams gets hurt. I sort of like him. I think he's a pretty cheap buy if you need running backs. But also, he's never shown that he's going to be an absolute star. So why not take a shot on another guy? So that's going to be my strategy for these sorts of rounds. I'm going to take my shots at tight ends. I'm going to grab running backs. For the most part, I'm going to have tons of wide receivers if I had a first-round pick, so I'm going to sort of stack the other positions. Not that I'm trying to just go position by position in each round. It just feels like with this draft, that's sort of the best bet. Otherwise, I'm just super gambling on wide receivers, which I don't really want to do.
Well, I do want to say you can tell that our patrons and the player profiler Twitter audience are taking part in this mock draft, because these are really smart people. You know, Kamini Vidal, he's the RB3 in the LA Chargers, but Gus Edwards is old and J.K. Dobbins is made out of old chandelier parts and chewing gum. And then you got this guy, and we know Harbaugh wants to run the ball. If there's a guy, if Gus Edwards is Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins gets hurt again, then this kid's going to get a role. And then imagine if he's good. Imagine the dynasty value of Vidal. So I was between him. I took Malachi Corley. Malachi Corley was my guy coming into the season. And I think maybe he's the third option, because we can consider Breece Hall the second option. But if Garrett Wilson is the first option and Breece Hall is the second option, isn't Malachi Corley the third option? I mean, maybe it's the tight end Travis Conklin, but I don't think so. I mean, this kid's living in Rogers' pool house, probably doing some ayahuasca together, probably some interesting, you know, political conversations over dinner. I'm sure, you know, but you know what? He's bonding with Aaron Rodgers. That's always the thing with rookie wide receivers and Aaron Rodgers. So I think it's great. I love the draft capital. He was the first pick of the third round. They traded up to get him. His skill set, like I will always say this, you are either better than, different than, or the same as your competition. He's clearly not better than Garrett Wilson, but he's also definitely different. So he does some different things, brings a bit of a Debo type element to him. I love him. I'm going to throw this back to you guys for any more third round thoughts. But what I want to do is I want to give a shout out to Bendles. So Bendles gifted 5 player profiler Dynasty League memberships. Dude, that is amazing. So what I'm going to do, because Tyler has direct connections to the IT people, the smart people behind the scenes as a producer himself, our boy Seth DeWald does a lot. We're going to try to make sure that those 5 are randomly given to people in tonight's chat. But Bendles, thank you so much for your kindness and generosity. Getting more people over at Player Profiler just makes the Dynasty world. And that's what we say about the Dynasty Warzone. We're just here to make the world a better place for Dynasty fantasy football. Tyler, you have any other third round conversation? Two tight ends went. We had Ben Sinnott go 301, Jatavion Sanders 307. You're locked in a phone booth, and you only way to get out is to pick one of these two guys. Who are you going with?
Oh, it's the Senator. Not even close. It's the Senator.
The Senator.
He is.
Do you like that Chris Cooley, Kyle Juszczyk, H-back type feature to his game?
Oh, how could you not, man? I mean, he was a baller in college. I mean, obviously not. He didn't have a Brock Bowers season or one of these other like Laporta guys like we had last year. But especially in like a tight end premium format, like Sinnott he landed in the perfect spot. Because now I we're gonna find out this year, and maybe we are kind of already have our answer. But the thing with Sinnott is Cliff Kingsbury. Do we remember how many of those tight ends in Arizona would just like they would be legit guys like Zach Ertz? And it's funny that he's now in Washington, but Zach Ertz, when he was before he had that ACL with Arizona, he was like the tight end 4 in points per game. Other guys like Max Williams was a guy there for a while when Kingsbury was there. We had Dan Arnold was a little bit of a guy there. And I think he gets good draft capital. I think there is something just to be said with Kingsbury and these tight ends. So I think I like that connection a little more. And if you look at you think about we talked about Canales, it seems like all night, but Jatavion Sanders in Carolina. I Kate Otten didn't really do much last year. Maybe it's because he's Kate Otten. He's not that good, but Jatavion Sanders was a guy who I think people thought he was going to be better at the combine than he was. So he was kind of a combine follower after all the testing numbers came in. But yeah, I would definitely take the Senator over Sanders.
Here's the thing. If he gets that H-back role, if he steals 3 rushing touchdowns throughout the season, that's just free points. That could be a free week winning week in a tight end premium league. I do like Jatavion Sanders because Tommy Tremble, and I forget the other guy who was there at tight end, that position's good. And it may take him a while, but I saw progression with Kate Otten under Dave Kanellis in that offense. And the difference between Kate Otten and Jatavion Sanders is Kate Otten had to deal with Mike Evans. Maybe you've heard of him. He's good at football. So is his teammate, Chris Godwin. They don't have that. I mean, maybe Xavier Leggett is a thing. Deontay Johnson, target hog. Adam Thielen, dust. Johnny Mingo, that's a weird way to pronounce Treylon Burks. So you start adding all this up, and you see a path where a guy like Jatavion Sanders could be very useful. He's a great steal at the 307. So let's do 401. We'll talk the fourth round, and then we'll wrap this one up with just some general conversation. So Will Shipley went 401. I don't love the landing spot in Philadelphia. Not a big check down. Braylon Allen to the Jets.
I mean, you, for a person that is super skeptical about Saquon, I figured you would have sort of liked that one.
I like him, but I don't like the running profile. I don't know. It's the whole pass catching vibe and Jalen Hurts stealing that. Dylan Lobby, I took him. Las Vegas Raiders at the 403. We got Jacob Cowing. He is a wide receiver on the Niners. We got Malik Washington going to the Dolphins. I don't know how that looks now with Odell Beckham Jr. You've got Isaac Grindo, running back for San Francisco. Rasheen Ali, running back for the Ravens. Here's one that I really like, Jordan Travis. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but Zach Wilson's gone. And he's the backup to a guy coming off of an Achilles injury. Another guy that I think is going too late, Tyrone Tracy, I mean, the barrier to entry there is Devin Singletary. You got AJ Barner, tight end for the Seahawks. Spencer Rattler, again, Derek Carr, played bad slash got hurt. Probably should have been benched a couple of times. Maybe you see the Rattler. Our boy Nino Brown, huge fan. And then finally, the last one, Theo Johnson. I think Theo Johnson is going to wind up being a steal because, you know, Darren Waller, you know, getting a divorce, maybe retiring, just a mess. And we know the Giants need weapons. So I'm always going to go back to the guest. Tyler, you took Garindo. I don't think I'm even pronouncing his name correctly. But tell us about him, and then we'll jump to Jerry.
I took Garindo simply just because he had the most upside on the board. I was between him and who's the other guy I was between? I can't even remember who it was. But I just took – yeah, he's the most upside. He's in San Francisco. I don't love the pick from just like if you're trying to get – he has to have a lot of things go right if he's going to be an actual guy in the NFL. Like, he was at Wisconsin while Jonathan Taylor was there, couldn't get on the field. He couldn't get on the field when Braylon Allen was there. It's funny because Braylon Allen actually went after him in the real NFL draft, which is kind of funny. And then he goes to Louisville. He transfers out. And he wasn't even the guy there either. They had Jawar Jordan, who just got drafted by the Texans too. So he never really was the guy. I question whether or not he's like that good at football because he's a great size speed guy. His speed score is the reason that he's, I think the Niners liked him. He kind of is like that Raheem Mostert kind of guy where like he's very raw, not a lot of hype coming out, but a bigger body who's really fast. So the Niners have had success with some of these guys in the past. So I think that's why they went Garindo there. But real quick, I really wanted to take Malik Washington. And I don't know if you guys have heard the really cool stat about Malik Washington. There are four players in the past 10 years of college football who have had a season where they're from a Power 5 conference, they've had 110-plus catches in a season, and they had a 1,400-plus receiving yards in their best season. Those four receivers are Amari Cooper in 2014, Justin Jefferson in 2019, Devontae Smith in 2020, and Malik Washington in 2023. So for that stat alone, I think Malik Washington would be my pick there if he was there.
Jerry, anything to add? You went Barner. Now, I hadn't heard a lot about Barner. I know people are high on Eric All, who went to the Bengals. Probably going to be a redshirt year with his injury. But tell us about AJ Barner, Jerry. Just like no faith in Noah Fant, the Noah Fant experiment's over.
That's, yeah, bingo. There you go. I wanted to take Theo Johnson, but I figured people knew Theo Johnson. And once you get into the fourth and the fifth, a lot of the times there's a bunch of just scraps down there and you just got to pick it, guys. And AJ Barner is a guy I've been picking just because I don't trust Noah Fant to do a goddamn thing that's going to make me happy, because that's been the case for like 5 years. So why would I assume that's going to change? He's not awesome by any means, but if he can end up emerging as that guy, I mean, he was a fourth round pick, never super productive at Michigan. I mean, he had 21 catches this year, which, like Tyler said earlier about Blake Corum in 2021, that might as well be a 90% target share because they don't pass the damn ball. I know I also said that Michigan is the most evil organization on this planet, and yet I took two Wolverines. So I am the worst Spartan on the planet also.
Turn in your green and white cap and gown. Well, they're taking it back. They're very disappointed in you. I took Dylan Lauby, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, very close to our boy John Laib, also a member of the player profiler team. For me, it's just the pass catching profile. I'll go back to Jonathan Brooks, who I picked two picks ago. Is pass catching running backs on bad teams are a good thing. Why? Because they catch a bunch of checkdowns. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I think that's what Dylan Lauby is going to do. Now, do I think early in the game the Raiders are going to, quote-unquote, try to establish the run and pound it with, you know, Zamir White? Sure they can. But this was a larky stat, and I'm freewheeling here. But it's like in his NFL career to date that Zamir White doesn't have 290 receiving yards. But Dylan Lauby had a game where he had 290 receiving yards. It's just crazy. And I will tell you, I'm a Colts fan. I watch Gardner Minshew. He will check down to the running back. I can tell you he also did that when he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he checked down a ton to James Robinson. That was part of the reason why James Robinson blew up. He was getting the touchdowns, but he was also overly involved in the passing game. And I don't want to offend Raider Nation, but I don't think they're going to be any good. And when you're not any good, you're behind. And when you're behind, you're checking down a bunch. I think Dylan Lobby could – I think we could look back at the end of this season and be like, that was the one. That and Vidal, the guy from the Chargers, just because of what's in front of him. And then I almost took Tyrone Tracy because, again, it's kind of like the Blake Corum and the Ray Davis scenario, except the guy in front of him isn't any good. Like Kyren Williams, whether you like him or not, he showed he could be very good at the NFL level. Whether you like James Cook or not, he showed he could be very productive at the NFL level. Think about Devin Singletary. He's only showed that like he has like a good way of like staying in the NFL, which good for him. You know, salute, brother. I'm glad you got that second contract. So many running backs don't. But it's literally if Matt Breida is still there, it's Devin Singletary, Matt Breida, Tyrone Tracy. You talk about being this close. Tyler, I see you're wanting to jump in. What are your thoughts on some of these running backs that I'm talking so highly about?
No, I was just looking around. But I like the interesting thing with Vidal. So with the Chargers, Dobbins is there. You mentioned Gus Edwards' age. But one thing that I saw with J.K. Dobbins, they can cut him. So he signed a one-year deal for $1.1 million. They can cut him for just $100,000 dead cap if he just like isn't what they hoped. And he took a while to sign. Like he visited with the Chiefs. He visited with a couple other teams. Like I don't know if the medicals are all checked out there. Like I think there's some question marks there. So I think Vidal gets even more interesting when you talk about like they can just cut this guy and they'll save $1 million like that. They'd only eat $100,000, which is like it's like finding a penny off the ground. And for anybody else that doesn't have all that kind of money,
watch even him. Sorry, give me 1 second, Jerry. Watch Vidal in like mini camp Twitter. You know, they'll have rookie camp, mandatory mini camp. Watch the hype on this guy start to grow. I'm sorry, Jerry. We were going at the same time there.
No. You're good. I was just going to say, even if you don't believe in the man, I think that is super telling about J.K. Dobbins. And if they do cut him, what does his value do? It's going to jump. Like it's going to jump a ton, and you can profit before the season even starts in that outcome. Because as soon as the news hits that if J.K. Dobbins gets cut, everybody's going to just be going absolutely bonkers for this guy in a Jim Harbaugh offense.
How high does he jump? Is he going to the mid-second round?
Yo, way higher than that, man.
Yeah, we're
talking about Jim Polo, frumpy, tucked into his khaki pants, runs the ball to the detriment of people like J.J. McCarthy. Yes, he will absolutely pound the rock.
I just pulled up, you know, because I didn't remember, like, you know, some of these guys you remember. I remember, like, how tall and how much Jonathan Brooks weighs. Vidal is 5'8", 213 pounds.
Meaty. That's a meaty thick man.
That's a guy who can, this is going to sound terrible, take a pounding. You know, he can pound it between the tackles. Well, we've been pounding this draft for just over an hour. Jerry, any final thoughts before I get final thoughts from our guest and we wrap this one up and go home?
Nope. I would just say, screw everybody else's opinion. Do what you think you need to do. Let me say one thing. Let me go on a little bit of a diatribe. I'll try not to go too long because we've already been going too long. I hate when people say, take the best player available and don't just draft what you need, which I agree with, not just, you know, filling out your roster because it's May. Not a single human being in the world knows who the best player available is going to be in Dynasty. Not a single one. Every single one of those people said Jalen Reagor was really good and Sterling Shepard was a 104 pick and Corey Coleman and Corey Davis. And we've done this a bazillion
times. Hakeem Bustler.
Well, that was just me, I think, because I'm an idiot. But
No, it wasn't.
Didn't he just catch a couple touchdown passes in the UFL?
I think UFL. Hell yeah, he did, buddy. He's coming back. He's
on Jerry's UFL dynasty team.
Yeah, we're back up and running. But That's what I mean. Nobody has any fucking idea what they're talking about. Like, there's a chance Xavier Worthy is the absolute highest scoring wide receiver. You know, I just take last year, for example. Jackson Smith and Jigba was almost unanimously the wide receiver one. And a guy who went in the fifth round from BYU ended up legitimately breaking the rookie receiving record. But had you taken Puka Nacua before Jackson Smith and Jigba in the rookie draft, you would have been burned at the stake. And now, if you take Jackson Smith and Jigba over Puka Nacua, you'll get burned at the stake. I'm just saying, like when people say take the best player available, you have no fucking idea. Like, nobody. All we do is try and make the absolute best decisions with the information that we have. We don't know the people. I mean, we don't know who makes the decisions. We don't know them as people.
You don't know who I know.
Yes. Listen, your wife, it better not let you out the house. But like take Keon Coleman, for instance. You know how many people knew Keon Coleman was an extremely good personality? How many times did you hear Keon Coleman's personality was going to boost him up? Not a damn one. I literally went to Michigan State. You know how many Michigan State beat writers and everything else I follow? They didn't market that man at all. I didn't know he was going to be the funniest man alive. He's going to be an awesome locker room guy. That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know these people. We don't know that information. So just make the best decisions that you have and screw everybody else's opinion. It's your team. You play it. I believe that you are smart enough to do it.
What about you, Tyler? What are any final thoughts on this rookie class before we get out of here?
Yeah, Tyler Wishy could actually outproduce Jaden Reed at Michigan State for a year there. Just thought that was worth noting. Can I end it with one more player that I like that went in the third round in this draft? This little quick profile?
Please, would love you to.
Let's do it. All right. Doesn't get talked about enough. Jalen McMillan. Kind of a name everyone knows, but not a name anyone talks about. In 2022, I did the write-up for him too. And I went into this write-up. I went into the Blake Corum write-up knowing I was going to like Blake Corum. I really like Blake Corum. But this one, McMillan, when I was researching him, then that's when I started to like him. So he was hurt in 2023, which is why Jalen Polk had the emergence of kind of a season that he did with Adunze. That's why Adunze went off. But in 2022, all three of them were healthy together. One may have missed a game here or there, but for the most part, they were all healthy together. In 2022, Jalen McMillan led the Huskies. Again, the Polk played on this team. Adunze played on this team. Led the Huskies in receptions, touchdown receptions, was second in the yards to Rome Adunze, and he almost doubled the receptions and yards that Polk had in 2022. So when Polk and McMillan were on the field together in 2022, like, McMillan doubled him up on pretty much every single stat. Another thing, when you compare him to Adunze, McMillan was, so Adunze and McMillan played in 11 games together in 2022. McMillan was the leading receiver in five of those games. Adunze was the other six. That's pretty good for a guy who's being looked at as like a generational wide receiver type of prospect. Maybe not generational, but a really, really good top 10 wide receiver pick. So I really like McMillan, especially if you can give him the third round, even if he falls later in the fourth, because people like, you know, Lauby, they like Will Shipley. I am hitting that button all day long.
Well, I'm going to end this one the way that we started this one. You know, we talked about the good people, bad tweets, where even if you like a guy, don't way overdraft him. Now, if you overdraft him by three spots, okay. If you overdraft him by half a round to nine picks, that's bad business. You know, go back if there's, and maybe you really like a guy and then like there's two other guys. I literally in a draft, as you know, we were doing the show, I just drafted Vidal at the 306 in a draft, and I'm feeling really good about myself right now. So get your guy, but I didn't have to reach to get a guy that I like. Tyler, what's going on this week with you at Player Profiler and then your Hot Wings series on your own YouTube channel?
Yeah, so I will be actually live on Player Profiler today, tomorrow on Monday. If you're watching this out of that Monday at 6 p.m. Central on the Player Profiler News YouTube channel. Haven't decided what I'm going to talk about yet. I usually kind of let that come to me the day of, see what if we get any news that's popping off. But yeah, we live stream on PPR Tyler on YouTube and PPR Tyler on Twitter every single night, looking for 100 consecutive streams. That Hot One stream should be coming up. I'm just going to call it the Hot One stream. Should be coming up in the next like week or so. So that's going to be like the probably my favorite stream I will do of this far, my young streaming career. But if you like Underdog, you like best ball mania, that's what we're doing every night. So come hang out with us there. And it was, I had a blast being on here. Thanks for inviting me, guys.
No, I you are at the top of the list of people I wanted to get on after going to the draft house. Obviously, I mentioned Alex, got to get Larky back on, Cody. I mean, like everybody. And just we're here at the end of the show. So most of the football is done. So a couple of shout outs. Like I said, the there are so many guys behind the scenes at Player Profiler that don't get enough love. The two Knicks, Frank made a wonderful bowl of chili, keeps all the website stuff going. John Adams, you know, does all the audio podcasts. Not only do you see Seth Dewald, you know, on the Dynasty Roundtable, but that dude, you know, produces all the YouTube stuff. Everybody's a machine. So I had to get you on, man. I think you're one of the rising stars on the player. You're like the rookie 101 on the Player Profiler team. You're doing it behind the scenes, but you're doing it on the mic. And I hope to hear you on there a lot more, buddy.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
No problem. And when you get close to that 100 days and that wings thing, send me a DM, tag me in something. We'll make sure to help push it to the top. Last thing I got before I get us out of here is our patron, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. I want to welcome back. This is when makes you realize that you have a good product. You had a customer. They were here for a while. They stuck around. And then for whatever reason, life gets in the way. They leave, and that's okay. We leave as friends. We shake hands. We fill our orphans. No problem. Thank you for your time. And then to have two people come back this week was awesome. So shout out to Nathan and JC for coming back. That's when you know you have a good product, and we're really proud of it. That's patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. Of course, we did the Dynasty Dominator. Great app. There's so much good stuff out there. And again, not everybody's in a position to support with their wallet. Totally cool. Subscribing to YouTube channels, our YouTube channel, Player Profiler, Tyler's YouTube channel, the podcast, leaving a rating and review. All of these things are free, and they help small businesses grow. So thank you so much for coming on, Tyler. We will have you come back on again.
I love to come back on. Thank you.
Jerry, you going to come back next week?
Yeah, unfortunately, you're stuck with me, buddy. I'm sorry.
I'm stuck with Jerry. We'll work on getting another guest next week. I'm sure we'll be talking about rookies. I think the next mock draft we'll do will be mock drafts that of the startup variety and what the impact of the rookie class is having on dynasty startups now that we're post NFL draft. But all that will come next time. Thank you for watching here on the Player Profiler YouTube channel or listening on the Player Profiler Network. We'll see you next week with more fantasy football. And remember, we're just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football. See you guys.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.